Montana actually opened up first. There's certain areas that film production actually saved the economy a little bit, Butte being one of them. They had 6 productions this year, and they went from 0 hotel rooms to 3,500 stays, and that was from crews.
This is Can Do, a podcast that explores the business lessons essential for success in these volatile times. Can Do shares the insights of industry experts, along with the experiences and advice of local businessmen and businesswomen. Whether you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, or your career is affected by the current economic climate, these lessons will give you the guidance you need to make informed decisions about your future. I'm your host, Arnie Sherman. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to ravage our country and vaccine relief is slow in coming, sound advice is as good as gold. Montana businesses experienced an exhausting 2020, and 2021 promises to be just as unpredictable. Joining me today are two guests experiencing the economic impact from two very different perspectives. Tino Sonora is the Associate Director of the Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research. Dr. Sonora has been studying the economic effects of the pandemic on Montana since its onset nearly a year ago. Linwood Fields is a film industry veteran who is currently the marketing producer for Montana Studios. Among other things, Montana Studios has been providing production support for the hit TV series Yellowstone, which is being filmed in Montana. What is the state of the state as we enter 2021? What industries have weathered the pandemic the best and have a bright future? What lessons can be shared with businesses that continue to struggle? And is there a silver lining? This and much more in today's episode of Can Do. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. Welcome, Linwood Fields and Tino Sonora, to the show today. Appreciate you joining me. Let me begin with you, Tino. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background, refresh them about you, and then give us a statewide overview on how Montana has been doing economically throughout this pandemic.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me, Arnie. Appreciate it. Look forward to having this conversation. Well, I moved to Montana last year in January, so January 2019. Before that, I was a professor of economics at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado. I'm also a visiting scholar at the University of Zagreb in Croatia. And my main focus in economics has been macroeconomics and international economics. I came here to sort of be more focused on health, but my primary research and my primary interests remain to be macroeconomics, which is sort of the overall picture of the economy, as well as international types of economics, trade, and what have you.
So how does that picture look now?
Well, obviously, it's not good. We had a huge economic shock. We had some very scattered policy response here in the United States. Other countries did better, some did worse. We've just recently had that new package come through, about $900 billion, which I suspect is only going to have a small impact on the economy. The $600 checks will probably be either saved or used to buy down debt. They're not substantial enough. We need more long-term types of aid assistance in order for our economy to get kickstarted. We're still in a pretty bad situation compared to where we were at the beginning of the year. And I think it's going to be another year, 2 years before we actually get back on trend to where we were before this happened. We're seeing increased, because of the second and third waves now that are happening in coronavirus, increases in people missing work. That's going to have longer term productivity effects. I'm also concerned over the long run as people's behavior sort of continues to concentrate on COVID, that will also slow the economy for some time, or at least slow the recovery of the economy. The vaccine is not coming out as fast as I think many people would like. We still have a large number of people that are reluctant to take the vaccine, so that will also slow the recovery of the economy. And so it's going to be another 1 or 2 years of sort of stumbling along in this sort of economic state that we're in. Obviously, some sectors are doing relatively well. And others are not doing so well. So it's going to be another, I think, 1 or 2 years before we actually start to see that we're getting out of the tunnel, as it were.
And how does Montana fare compared to the rest of the country?
I think Montana and a lot of the states like Montana, you know, they usually get a little bit of the echo more than the initial shock. And so Montana might be a little bit behind, but I suspect this time around, unlike in the 2008-2009 recession, Montana got hit pretty hard and pretty quickly. We have a lot of sectors which are very sort of business cycle sensitive, meaning like recreation, tourism, these kinds of sectors. Those sectors are fairly large to the Montana economy. And so there could be two actually impacts of this. And this is where I kind of joke, you know, that you always want a one-armed economist, because we'll say on the one hand, but on the other hand, on the one hand, you know, it could hurt tourism because people are less able to travel. However, on the other hand, more people might be traveling to Montana from within the United States because they can't travel abroad. And so we could have a situation where I think tourism will still be sort of slow to respond, but could have a positive impact coming from sort of within the United States tourism. Overall, we've done pretty well. I think we've weathered this relatively well. Obviously, there's some concerns, but we've done okay.
Linwood, can you share a little bit about your backstory and how you got to Montana and what you're doing here now?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me on. And Tino, it's so great to be with you. I look forward to talking back and forth with you. I am a Montanan. I grew up in the Flathead Valley, and I graduated in 2010 from the University of Montana in digital filmmaking and multimedia. And I started my own production company. And then quite a few years later, in 2019, helped with the Media Act, the tax credit, helped write that legislation. I believe that film could be one of the strongest economic resources in the state of Montana. I believe I'm a film advocate for the state of Montana. My father was a logger for a long time. And when that stopped, he got a new job and he told me, you always have to look for the next thing. And I really believe that film is the next thing for the state of Montana. It did come here in the 90s. And I remember being a kid and being very excited about all of that. It went away because we didn't have a tax credit. And so that's what this Media Act, it's called Montana's Economic Development Industry Advancement Act, Media Act. And that passed in 2019. And it was almost immediate that we saw the buzz in the state of Montana with film. And I am a marketing producer. I'm also an executive producer for different projects. And I help facilitate productions coming in and crews working on those productions and using infrastructure for the state of Montana.
So has the COVID-19 pandemic been good for Montana's film industry?
Yes. Now, in the beginning, I think COVID was the same for every place. Everything shut down. Film was that way. We had a few projects greenlighted, which greenlighting means that they were coming here, they were going to film it. And then at the last minute, they said there's different productions like SAG that said there's too many strict rules with COVID. Film productions out of Hollywood were trying to figure out how to do this safely because there's a bunch of crew that work on them. And at first, everything was stopped. But then Montana actually opened up first and we got a lot of productions. And actually, I will say, I have been so impressed with the way productions run their COVID protocol and stay safe. You know, there were productions in Montana where the only people wearing masks were the people who were doing film in that area. And all of the productions do COVID testing. It's its own little microcosm of how you can do things safely in COVID. And it's been very successful. The other thing that's happened with filming is there's certain areas that I believe film production actually saved the economy a little bit, Butte being one of them. They had 6 productions this year, and they went from 0 hotel rooms to 3,500 stays, and that was from crews.
I don't think our listeners understand the economic impact, the ripple effect that a film production has on a state or a community like Yellowstone. Montana Studios is helping with the Yellowstone series. It's a wildly successful TV series. It has ancillary benefits because I've talked to people once again. It harkens back to River Runs Through It, who have been watching Yellowstone and say, boy, I should be living in Montana. But can you share a little bit about what the economic impact of a production like Yellowstone has on Montana?
Such a great question and such good points that you made. So a few things that I really like that you said is River Runs Through It economically still can be tracked. We still make in Montana $2 to $3 million a year off of River Runs Through It. The film industry is actually under the Department of Commerce, And it's under that because film is a great medium to do with tourism. You have a film like River Runs Through It, people fall in love with it. They immediately saw people coming here and fly fishing. Yellowstone is a similar series in that kind of, and I love that you said ripple effect, because I really believe film is a ripple effect, not a trickle down. It's a ripple effect economy. And how that works is a crew hires, and this is the other thing that I think is really important. Film is very blue collar. We see a lot of glitz and glamour when the film comes out, but when films are actually getting made, these are very blue collar jobs, from lumber, you know, to building, to electricians, to set builders, to wardrobe, hair and makeup, catering. These are jobs that Montanans can do and make a good living. So when it comes to something like Yellowstone, the biggest reason we pass this tax credit is Yellowstone actually was filmed in Utah, and their budget is around $70 million spend. Montana was seeing about $2 million of that because we didn't have a tax credit. And in fact, the story is that Kevin Costner and the governor and the owner of Montana Studios were together, and he said, man, you guys have got to get a tax credit. We'll move here if you do. And that was the impetus for us to push to get what is now one of the most competitive tax credits in the entire United States.
And what are the basic parts of this tax credit? What does a production operation get by coming to Montana as opposed to staying in California?
Any production will have a person called a line producer, and they do their budget. And the first question they're going to ask is, does that place have a tax credit? If they say no, then they're going to shoot a film like Montana in Utah or Canada or New Mexico, which we've all seen. And now we can say yes. And when you have a tax credit, what that looks like is, let's say you have $1 million budget, you do certain spends. Like you said, the ripple effect. If you stay in a hotel in Montana, that's worth a certain amount. If you hire crew in Montana, that's worth a certain amount. If you buy equipment here, if you do certain things, and we have a tax credit that you can get up to 35% back on your spend. Typically, I always tell people to be conservative around 25%. So you spend $1 million in the state of Montana, you show that that's true, you get a tax credit of $250,000 back that you can use for your post-production. Now, here's the caveat that I think is really important for the tax credit and for people in Montana to know. It then gets bought by people in Montana who pay a state income tax. And so it actually helps people in Montana. And if you pay a state income tax in the state of Montana, you can buy one of these credits at discount and spend less on your Montana state income tax.
Tina, so it sounds like this sector is doing very well during this recession and during this COVID pandemic. What other sectors in Montana are faring better than normal?
Well, you might be surprised to hear that manufacturing is actually not doing too poorly, particularly food and beverage manufacturing. So a lot of the non-durable types of manufacturing are doing relatively well. Some ag is doing fairly well. Again, this is ag, not necessarily for restaurants, but for consumption, for purchases from stores and things like this. So people wanting to obviously eat at home rather than go to restaurants. So that type of agricultural production is doing relatively well. Some things that are probably less surprising are things like professional services. Anything that can be done from home is doing okay, about normal. Nothing much has changed there. That's a little bit of a disadvantage for Montana because we have a relatively few number of people here that can actually work from home. So that's something to think about. Other sectors are doing well. On one hand, health is doing well. On the other hand, it's not doing so well. But health will probably come out of this, depending on what this market looks like at the end of all this, how many doctors and nurses are left. We'll probably do well soon, although it's going to take some time, I think, for that to pan out. Anything with finance is doing pretty well. Construction's doing okay. Jobs which you don't require to be sitting inside are obviously going to be doing fine. I'd like to go back to health if I could, because I think one of the more interesting things that's come out of this whole thing has been e-health and providing healthcare electronically now. And so that's going to be something that's going to continue, I think. Prior to the COVID, there were regulations which did not allow doctors and nurses to do things electronically, but now we can. So that's going to be helpful. And then obviously there's all of those support sectors that support these types of things, like Zoom, for example. I mean, we're conducting this discussion today. Those types of industries are going to do very well, particularly as people start moving more and more out of the office and into their homes to do some work. So those are sort of the general, obviously the ones that are being hit hard are tourism, retail is being hit hard. E-retail is doing well. And then again, some of those things that are connected with e-retail, so distribution, you know, UPS and FedEx and those kinds of services are going to be doing well. I think it's going to be real interesting coming out of this, what our economy will look like. I suspect it will not, you know, it might not be anything close to what we have right now. More people working at home, a lot of people becoming unemployed in certain sectors that I think will just go away, that will just die, basically, which is unfortunate. And so what we have to do is think of strategies to help those types of workers coming out of this, you know, either retraining or trying to steer them in different directions to sort of take on this new economy that we'll be faced with here in the next 2 to 3 to probably 5 to 10 years.
Lynn, would you have a thought on this?
Yeah, there was two things that I wanted to expand on. Tino, I was also noticing that real estate is doing very well in the state of Montana. And it's interesting with film, too, we are seeing, and this is for better or for worse, you know, this is the balancing act of economy, but a lot of people moving here to do remote work is all of a sudden an option that was never here before. And then I wanted to just expand a little bit on the question of ripple effect and how film does that. And so when a film comes into a community, what we've been able to see in like Hamilton and Butte specifically during COVID is that places like coffee shops and hotels that were dying are actually completely being saved by film industry right now. And that is the ripple effect of a crew coming in and working and not really being at their own home has really been felt in those communities. And in fact, you know, we're working on the legislation to actually increase our tax credit cap. And we have lists and lists of people who have been saved during this economy through film, including people like antique stores, somebody coming in and like Yellowstone, buying some stuff that is like a month's worth of what they would normally get for sales.
Tell our listeners a little bit about Montana Studios itself, the physical operation, where it is in the state, and how that operates.
Yeah, so I would say in a lot of ways, film is the new frontier. And so there's going to be a lot of different organizations popping up. But I feel strongly that Montana Studios is setting themselves up for the foundation of being experts in this field. And what we do is a few different things. So I would consider our pillars, we have infrastructure. So that means we have building spaces the productions can film and shoot in. We also have crew lists so we can help productions when they come in. We kind of consider ourselves like a concierge service. We also are experts in the Media Act, so we help productions with that paperwork and then selling those credits. We're working on that part. And the other thing I want to say is that we're mostly Montana-based, and I think that's really important. It's not just outside entities who are coming in, but Montanans who've stayed here, and I'm one of them. And we are working on educating more and more crew because we've got a huge amount of people losing jobs, and film is just embracing them. We would love to educate into the film market, and we think there's a lot of opportunity there.
Tino, what are the economic indicators that businesses should be paying attention to now as we're moving into 2021? What are the bellwethers they can look to see how things are going?
Geez, you know, what's really been interesting over this year in terms of economics and has been sort of the embracing of relatively high-frequency data to look at what's going on a daily basis, you know, rather than waiting for the monthly unemployment report or the quarterly GDP data. Now there's a lot more data available that we can look at on a daily or even or weekly or daily basis. One thing that a lot of economists were spending a lot of time looking at, which comes out fairly frequently, is new claims for unemployment insurance as well as continued claims for unemployment insurance. So that's been something that we've really looked at. Those numbers came out today. Nationally, they went down and initial claims went down, and that's sort of taken as a positive sign. Another thing that I think is really interesting is there's been a bunch of data indices which show basically how mobile people are. So they're using cell phone data to basically understand, are people staying at home? Are they going out and traveling? Are they going to restaurants? And so by tracking cell phone data, and this is anonymous, by the way, you can sort of get a sense of, on a daily basis, are people leaving their home? So right now, for example, the one I've been looking at is called the Mobility Engagement Index, which comes out from the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And it's showing here in Montana that it's, you know, there's a huge decline in March and then a rapid increase through July. And then it sort of steadied off until October. And now it's in decline again. So people are starting to be, quote unquote, less mobile. I mean, obviously, you see pop-ups for Thanksgiving and maybe for Christmas. But suffice to say, people are starting to sort of entrench themselves again. So what does that say? That says, well, people's preferences now are going to be driving a lot of what's going on in the economy, I think, going forward. If they're not willing to go out and spend and go to restaurants and go to movies, you know, then that's going to be a persistent drag on this economy for some time until the economy starts to adjust to that. Now, whether it's a new normal, I can't say. I think a lot of people are obviously very interested in going back to life as it was pre-pandemic. But I suspect it's going to be slightly different. You know, my grandparents, we always used to joke them, and I'm sure you guys did too, that there was always cans of food everywhere. But living through the Great Depression basically changed their lifetime behavior so that they were always ready for another Great Depression. Friends of mine in Croatia, you know, they lived through a hyperinflation. They're always ready for the next hyperinflation. And that happened 20 or 30 years ago. So this could be sort of our bellwether moment where we change our behavior, and it's going to be interesting to see how the economy adjusts to the way people behave. Now, obviously, some people are not going to change at all, but a large enough percentage of the population will, and that's going to be something that we can look at. And I think some of these mobility indices, some of these unemployment initial claims for unemployment insurance data is something that you would want to look at on a daily basis, or at least a weekly basis, to get a sense of where the economy is heading. Lastly, if I may, I also like to look at financial statistics, bond yields. The 10-year bond yield finally crept up above 1% 2 or 3 days ago. That's a hopeful sign. Whether or not, you know, you might not like it because your mortgage rate might go up, but suffice to say, there is a little bit more confidence building the economy. And that, again, is sort of something you could look on a daily basis. But that's what I've been looking at to get a sense of where the economy is going and where we sort of stand at the moment.
We are speaking with Dr. Tino Sonora of the Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research and Linwood Fields of Montana Studios. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by Montana Rail Links, committed to safely delivering transportation solutions to their customers. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. So, Linwood, the film and TV industry have taken new avenues during the COVID-19 pandemic for reaching their audiences.
So in terms of the way people watch, I think COVID has definitely made a difference. I know before COVID, they were already running into the issue where independent filmmakers really weren't getting the screen time. And where they were getting picked up was by streaming networks like Netflix and Stars and HBO Max. And those, and Netflix itself kind of changed the whole model and flipped it all on its head anyway. You know, the fact that they created their own content, that they didn't follow the rules that have been going on forever. They don't follow the same rules. They don't have to do certain amount of releases on some things. They don't have commercials that they have to deal with. It's been a game changer in general that there was streaming. But then when COVID hit, I think the thing that I'm seeing with film is that people were really hungry for content and things got shut down. So film kind of pushed through during COVID to make sure some of the stuff was getting done.
And here in Montana, who's taking advantage of tax credits? Who's coming in to do production? Are there independent filmmakers? It's the big studios. Is it a mix?
Well, right now we have a tax credit cap of $10 million. So we're not going to see things like Marvel because that one thing would wipe out the whole credit. They wouldn't even get it. We kind of set that up anyway, that we wanted indie filmmakers to come here and use this credit, and also Montana filmmakers. So we're seeing a lot of $1 to $2.5 million projects, which is indie films. And the great thing about that is they get 25% for hiring locally, 15% for bringing their own crews. So we're seeing that they're looking to hire locally because they'll get more back on their tax credit.
I know that a lot of Hollywood production is unionized. What is the union issue in Montana? How is it being played out here?
So we're going to watch this get played out right now with a new administration. It's a right-to-work administration push. Typically, film is really unionized, but I will say because this is a new industry, most of the crew in Montana have not become union because they didn't have the amount of work that's needed to do union. So we're just kind of all talking about this question internally right now. Like, do we go union? How does that work? And that could impact some of the projects that come through and who can get hired. To kind of piggyback off that, one of the things with the tax credit is you actually get a percentage if you go to certain areas that are considered lower income areas in the state of Montana. And I've been working for the last 10 years on a project called PermaRed with my dear friend Deborah Magpie Erling, and it's a Salish story. And one of my true hopes is that there's a network that's interested in it. And this is a really good fit for Indigenous communities. Film is a really good fit because it does a few things. It believes in stories. It honors stories. The other thing it does is you get paid to work really hard for a little bit, and then you get time off, which is a rhythm that Montanans in general like. This idea that you would work hard and then you would play hard. You know, one of the things the tax credit is incentivizing is going to more rural areas. I believe in that, and I believe that it can be throughout the whole state. I do have to say that certain parts of the state have really seemed excited about it and have made things smoother for that transition. And Butte and Hamilton and Darby and Missoula and Whitefish are those places that seem very excited to have that there. What I would like to see is to crew up in a major way in the state of Montana. You know, that places could come to all over in the state and there would be crews there. At this point, we have a tiny crew base, tiny. So people are having to bring people from Utah, Spokane, and California still. And Montana Studios' main ethical platform is that because we have 110,000 square foot facility in Butte, to start having filmmaker meetups, more education, and taking places like miners who maybe won't have jobs in a couple of years and training them as fast as possible. Vets are one of our biggest resources. When they come back, we like to train them.
So as you crew up, as people are looking at this and figuring out, I'd like to get into this industry, what are the specific jobs?
Well, on bigger productions, there's like 100 jobs for one production. And so we've had to say, what's the priority here? What should we train people first? And I think the most important job that anybody who's new could learn is called a production assistant. And it's a PA. And you would help with just moving stuff around so you can see how crews work. And most of us start as PAs so we can see what we might be interested in. There's sound, there's lighting, there's builders, there's hair and makeup, there's caterers, it's like a whole little town moves into a place to make a film, like a little tiny community of like 100 people. And so there's lots and lots of jobs. There's scouting locations. That's a great job. If you're somebody who knows a bunch of places in the state of Montana, I would like to meet you, because sometimes somebody says, can we get a red barn with a lake behind it? And then we're out looking for that, you know, and that's a great job. And right now, you know, productions are interesting because it's not like a plumber who you get apprentice and then you work. You start to get known and you start getting on jobs and jobs and jobs. And that's how you make a good living.
Tino, we mentioned earlier how some of the industries are doing here in Montana and nationally. But what sectors in general are the most COVID proof, do you think?
Well, anything you could do at home is clearly COVID-proof. Office types of jobs are COVID-proof-ish. Everything's ish, right? Construction's pretty well because a lot of time is being spent outside. You know, the ones that are, which everybody's heard about, you know, traveling. And it's not necessarily, it's the travel. It's not the being there at that time. It's the travel itself. You know, my understanding of the way the disease works, as long as you get that distance from each other, and as long as you follow the guidelines, you know, anything where there's enough space, I think those are the types of jobs that will do well. You know, healthcare is one of those paradoxes, right? We think, oh, this is going to be great for healthcare. But the vast majority of hospital revenues and stuff are voluntary types of health needs and not so much the emergencies or whatever. So a lot of their revenues have suffered as a result of this because people simply don't want to go to the hospital. They're worried about catching the disease. You know, the hospitals might not have the room anymore to take them. We've had this huge spike, as you know, in California and Texas, where almost 100% of beds are occupied right now. And so that's really putting a crimp in those types of industries. But I think generally speaking, it's really anything that could be done from home. And again, that's why, unfortunately, you know, Montana, we're a little bit of a disadvantage because we have relatively few jobs that can be done from home. When you think of it in terms of people who can work from home, Montana's kind of at the bottom of the pile I think we're like 48th to 49th in the country in terms of people that are working from homes. So that puts it at a little bit of a disadvantage. What I do foresee, and I think a lot of people are seeing it or forecasting this as well, is that a lot of jobs can be done and don't need to be done in the office.
Linwood.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about why film also survived COVID and some different jobs that survived really strong during COVID. So productions have three levels. They have pre-production, production, and post-production. And we were talking on the break about some of these things, but in pre-production, you're not around people. So you have a script writer, you can do everything through Zoom. It's getting everything organized. And actually, production is the smallest portion of what happens in film. Most of it happens in pre-production. It can be 6 months of pre-production and less than 2 months of production. And then post-production are some of these jobs that are very COVID safe, you know, sound, final mixing of the edits, color correcting, and putting these final polishes on. So film is very interesting because in some ways it has a really safe element with COVID. And during that production period, typically 2 weeks before, you kind of have to be in your own little bubble, then you have all your testing. And then when you're around each other, there's strict protocol. So I think that's one of the reasons the industry, not only are people really hungry for films and TV, but there's a lot in the industry that can kind of survive through COVID. The production part is the small part that has gotten really strict. And as an industry, it's one of the most strict COVID protocols.
Do you know?
Yeah, I was just going to add, and it's one of those things, again, where you kind of have a perfect storm in a positive way, where, you know, maybe 30 years ago, the movie industry or other industries like this would have been hit really hard. But with the advent of some of these new technologies, the Netflix, the Amazon Primes, et cetera, has really sort of helped these types of industries in ways that were unforeseen. Again, Zoom's been around for a while, but suddenly now with this new environment we're living in, Zoom becomes sort of the norm now. And then this becomes the new economy, if you will. So what we're really seeing is how all of these different sectors, these different industries are really combining in interesting ways to promote a new type of economy and allow some of these types of sectors to stay afloat, which maybe 20 years ago might not have been able to. I'm able to work from home. We're having this interview from, you know, we're all, I think, in our homes. And this is something that, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, no one would have even considered. You know, obviously, a lot of people have been telecommuting for some time, but that was a relatively small percentage of the total population. Now people are starting to think, oh, you know what, I can spend a week in Mexico and still get my work done. I can have my meetings, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't have to be in Edmonton in the winter. You know, I'd rather be somewhere else and I can still do my job. And I think from the employer's perspective, they're also seeing the opportunities that exist without having to restrict their workers to come to the office every day. And again, let me just reiterate that it's only for those types of jobs that can actually telecommute. A lot of jobs, obviously, you cannot. And that's, again, one of those inequality issues that I was discussing earlier, that you do have a bifurcation between people who are relatively high on the income scale versus those who are relatively low on the income scale. And this is just going to be another one of those types of inequities that could start to be realized moving forward.
Tina, what are the global impacts of COVID and how does that affect Montana specifically?
Well, you know, any disease is not, unfortunately, confined to a single location. In particular, this one is global, and that will also have some ripple effects on the economy here as well. We do export a fair amount of things to the rest of the world, you know, Canada and Mexico in particular, China and Korea. The fate of some of those industries that are highly exposed to the rest of the world are also going to feel a bit of impact. And as these economies start to recover, we'll start seeing those export markets picking up. And another thing that you might not think about necessarily is the supply chain, is we might see some supply chain shortening. So instead of getting your aluminum, say, from South Korea, maybe you might want to get your aluminum from Washington instead. So there's a lot of rethinking going on of what the global supply chain looks like and what global markets will look like moving forward. I think this is going to be something that we want to keep an eye on for the next few years. You know, all of these discussions that we've been having today, we will be discussing the Bureau of Business and Economic Research's Economic Outlook Seminar, February 1st and 2nd this year. We will be discussing more about the economics of the impacts of COVID. And we've got Neil Kashkari is going to be giving a talk. He's the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis's president. And we also have Edward Glaser, who's a Harvard professor of economics, whose specialty is in health. And so I think they're going to have some additional useful things to say about the impacts of COVID on the economy, not just now, but moving forward as well.
For a last comment, I'm going to go to Linwood.
Well, I was just going to add to what Tina was saying. One of the things that's been a pro that's come out of COVID is the environment, seeing how we can do things a little differently and maybe be more environmentally friendly. And that's one of the biggest reasons that I'm behind film, is it's a pretty eco-friendly kind of industry. And I think that Montanans are desiring economics that are environmentally friendly. And really, film depends on Montana staying beautiful, you know, that we have beautiful mountains and beautiful lakes. We need that to continue our industry. And we actually don't need to build a lot to make this happen, you know, some studios. But typically people come in and they film and then they leave, and they leave it the way it was. And so that's something that I'm kind of passionate about, is the film really is pretty eco-friendly. And I think we're seeing as a culture that people are craving that.
And with that, Tino Sonora, Linwood Fields, thank you for joining me today. We could go on and on this topic. And I do know where there's a red barn with a lake behind it, so we can talk about that later. Thank you all. I appreciate your listening to Can Do, produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guest contact information and content from all our shows. Listen next time, when we will be discussing the outdoor recreation industry. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you good health and prosperity.